Welcome to Share Talk. Today we have European Metal Holdings Chief Executive Officer Keith Coughlan with us. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Stephen. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Interesting times at the moment. When Share Talk last spoke to you in late November, you mentioned that you thought the process route for your lithium project at Zinnovec would be out soon, and obviously that would then incorporate into the pre-feasibility study. So do you think today's news sort of shows that route that you would like to take to the market?
Well, we are still doing work on both of the routes that we've narrowed things down to. This is not a decision to go one way or the other. More, it's importantly for us knowing that we have an alternative path to produce battery-grade lithium carbonate. We produced carbonate last year as part of the scoping study using the acid leach path. And this is important for us to be able to produce it with this technology as well, this process, so that we can look at an accurate comparison between the two from all of the perspectives, from the perspective of operating expense, CapEx, byproduct credits, etc., and also to examine fully the quality of the end product that we can make from either process.
So, in regards to the acid leach versus the sulfide roast sort of production method,
Yes.
what way do you see things going forward, and what sort of work are you doing in relation to both of those studies?
Well, we're doing we have an external independent engineering consultant, a world-renowned consultant who's doing a specific trade-off study for us on this on the comparison between the two processes right now. And really, it comes down to all of those things I mentioned. It comes down to operating expense, but also capital expense, byproduct credits, and things like cost of reagents, cost of processes, the environmental impact of each pathway. There are a lot of factors that have to be taken into consideration before we can choose which is going to be the best one for us to use for Sinovec.
Now, everyone at the moment seems to be structuring mining projects around lithium. I note obviously on your RNS release that you've also got tin and tungsten within the work there. How
That's
does
correct, yeah.
that fit in with, again, your sort of operational expenditure, etc., it
Well,
within the pre-feasibility study?
Sinovec is an old tin mine. Tin has been mined there off and on for in excess of 600 years, and the tin mineralization and the metallurgy and the extraction routes and all that sort of thing are very well known because it's been mined there for so long. For us, it represents, if you look at Sinovec as a lithium project, the tin, the tungsten, and indeed the potash credits represent very strong byproducts, particularly the tin. We did our scoping study last year, and the tin price we used then was $22,500 a tonne, which was the then price. And at that level, according to the scoping study numbers, tin contributed about $95 million a year to the revenues. Now, since then, tin has been down as low as I think $14,000 a tonne, and it's back up now to $21,000 a tonne. And there are those in the industry, particularly ITRE, who are suggesting we're going to see significantly higher prices. Tin itself is a very valuable byproduct credit for us. It's more a co-product credit. And it's not just the value of it, it's the fact that it is an LME metal. It's a well-traded metal, a transparent market, terminal market, etc. And so therefore it's much easier to negotiate offtake agreements, find end users, etc. Whereas lithium was obviously a little bit harder, not having a terminal market and having your agreements really just by contract. So very handy for us to have the tin there, and as the tin price increases, it becomes more and more important for us. What's also important is the fact that the tin and the tungsten is liberated right at the start of the process. So there's no compromise between extracting the lithium and extracting the tin, if you like. The tin tungsten, most of it comes out right up front with very simple gravity and magnetic separation, and we're left with an upgraded lithium concentrate that then would go to the lithium carbonate plant.
In regards to news flow going forward then, just to let the listeners know, your pre-feasibility study is due in March. What sort of news flow are you expecting between now and then?
Well, there'll be some follow-on work done with regards to the sodium sulfate process, the announcement from today. You know, that's our first pass result, that better than 99.5% carbonate, battery-grade carbonate is first pass. There'll be further work done on that to optimise it, see if we can't get it up to 99.9 and ensure that any impurities are well below industry tolerances. So there'll be that work done. That'll also give us more of an indication on final pricing of the process route as well. Apart from that, there are some more drill results to come, either late this month or early next month, depending on, you know, when the labs shut down for Christmas, etc. The drilling is still important for us. It's just a way of demonstrating how big, how robust the Sinovec deposit is, and it's also helping us increase the level of indicated resource from inferred. So we put out quite a strong upgrade, or a very strong upgrade, a 420% increase in the indicated resource last month, and we hope to put out another upgrade before the PFS is concluded. So there's that by way of announcements, and then all leading into the conclusion of the PFS at the end of first quarter 2017.
Would you like to share anything else with our listeners at all there, Heath?
Well, look, things seem to be going well. Thank you, Stephen. I mean, it's you know, it's a process, and we're working through it. Where apart from the things I've mentioned to you, we're spending a lot of time and effort with our environmental studies, various permitting initiatives that we require, moving towards a preliminary mining permit, which is the next stage of the formal permitting process, but also things like reaccessing the underground, dewatering what's there. You know, the historic mine has been shut in for some time, so there's some work to be done on refurb and that sort of thing. So it's all a process. It's busy. There's lots happening, and that will continue. I don't think any of us are going to get much of a Christmas, but, you know, we're working hard to hit this deadline for the PFS by the end of March.
Just a quick question from one of our listeners. How do you intend to close the gap from where the market cap is to where it should be?
I suppose that depends on where you think it should be. I have my own views, but I might keep them to myself. Look, all we can really do is to keep making announcements like this, keep improving all aspects of the project, as I believe we are doing, and I believe we will get the re-rating as more and more information gets out there to the market. The publication of the PFS, I think, will go a long way toward that re-rating. And then things thereafter as we move into the DFS as well. You know, I am confident that the market will eventually get it right.
How long a time have holders got to wait for that to happen?
Well, the PFS is, conclusion of the PFS is about 3.5 months away. So hopefully no longer than that, Stephen.
Right, Keith, thank you very much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you for yours.
Have a good Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, and you too.